like me. Anybody can say that with me? I once was lost, but now I'm found. Everybody remember? Was blind, but now I see. Help me, say oh God. Smile on me. Anybody know that? Yes, set me free. Oh, have mercy. As I look back over my life, I can testify that God smiled on me. He's been good to me. Help of my song. Oh, yes, he has. Here's the verse. Here's the verse I've been asking all the time. Listen. Have we all had times we tossed and turned all night long? Oh, we cried tears. We cried tears. We didn't have peace of mind. Y'all remember that one? And when Satan whispered and told you, shout the Lord. But that you have.
Back on L Street.
Y'all
got
brand new. Y'all forgot it ain't been 11 years.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. Hallelujah. Thank you so much for coming in to this afternoon. Well, this evening. Hallelujah. You could have been doing something else with your time, but you decided to stop by and study the Word of God with us tonight. I hope you have your Bibles. Hallelujah. I hope you have your Bibles. Hallelujah. Thank you so much for tuning in tonight. Welcome, welcome to A Journey into Wholeness. Cathedral Worldwide Ministries, where the flesh is crucified, the Holy Spirit is magnified, and God is glorified. and you are welcome. Well, you in your place, but I always like that song. You're welcome in this place. Forget about what's going on. Hallelujah. And put Jesus on your mind. So I'm grateful to God to be here with you tonight. Thank you for your prayers. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. To God be the glory. We decided not to go live tonight. Hallelujah. Get your Bibles. We've been studying the book of 2 Corinthians. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. Do you love the Lord tonight? I tell you, he did to me. I can speak from a personal standpoint. No matter what it looks like, no matter what we go through, God is a good God. He's a faithful God. There is no one like him. Hallelujah. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just thank you for another opportunity to study your word tonight. You tell us so graciously in 2 Timothy 2:15 to study, to show thyself approved, a workman needed not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. So, Lord, we thank you for the words that you have hidden in our heart that we might not sin against you. And, Lord, we thank you for your mercy and your grace. When we don't dot every I and cross every T on this journey, sometimes we feel like giving up. But, God, we thank you that you are God that takes us on our own individual journey. It's a process. You're interested in building a relationship with us, Father. So help us to keep things in the proper perspective in our lives. Help us to be a people to be determined to build a relationship with you and know that you are patient, God. You are loving, God. Lord, we honor you tonight. Father, you said in your word that if I acknowledge you, you will direct my path. Lord, I need your direction. Bless of me and all of you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, the name that's above every name. You said in your word that every knee shall bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I bow my knee and I confess that you're Lord over my life. Take complete control. You said in your word in 1 John 5:14-15, this is the confidence that we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, that he hears us. And if we know that you hear us, whatever we ask, it shall be given. But the key word, according to your will, not thy will, but your will be done. So, Father, I pray that everyone that's under the sound of my voice will allow this word to take root in their life. God, Holy Spirit, lead, guide, and order my footsteps as only you can. You get all the glory, all the honor, all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Welcome, welcome again. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You know I usually sing, but tonight I'm going to take my time and just study the word with you tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. 2 Corinthians in the New Testament. Hallelujah. And I always give you a topic. I guess that's the counselor in me, going to school to become a counselor. And I always like to give you a question. But the topic of discussion tonight, our bodies will be swallowed up by eternal life. Our bodies will be swallowed up by eternal life. And the question I would like for you to ponder, do you believe that eternal life reflects a universal hope? Think about what I'm saying. Do you really believe it? Do you believe that eternal life reflects a universal hope? And as I previously stated, 2 Corinthians 5:4-11 is what we're going to study tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Help me, Lord, tonight. I actually started on Sunday morning with verses 1-3 of the same chapter. 2 Corinthians 5:4-11. Verse 4 of 2 Corinthians, let's read it together. It says, for while we are in this tent, we groan, being burdened, often weighed down, oppressed. What do you think Paul is saying here? For while we are in this tent, meaning this body, sometime on this life journey, we groan, we're burdened down, often weighed down, oppressed, not that we want to be unclothed, separated by death from the body, but to be clothed so that what is mortal, meaning the body, this body is mortal, mortality, will be swallowed up by life after the resurrection. I want to talk to you a little bit about the resurrection. We're coming up on this Sunday. Some say Easter Sunday. Some say Resurrection Sunday. The Christian, you know, the ones that are Christians. Some say they do not believe in the resurrection. I don't understand that. Well, Romans 4, if you would like to turn there, Romans 4, verse 25, the New King James Version, is evident that God sent his only begotten Son for you and me. And he died, but rose again for us, and it reads as thus. He said, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. What is Paul saying here? Paul was so graciously making us aware that when we trust in Jesus Christ as Savior, an exchange takes place. When we trust him as Savior, we can't trust him as Lord yet. Because on this journey, it's a process. But we're immature. So he's letting us know when we accept Jesus Christ as Savior, an exchange takes place. In other words, we give Christ our sins, and he gives us his righteousness. That means he gives us his righteousness and his forgiveness, which is justification. In other words, what his word say about us is just that. No matter what, no matter what you've done, no matter if you wanted to give up, no matter if you murdered, you know, before you got saved, if you murdered someone, whatever you've done, when you accept him as Savior, the Bible said that you are justified. Uh-huh. You are forgiven. Mm-hmm. You know why? Because no one has a hell or heaven to put you in. God paid the price. It is only through Christ that we can be right in God's eyes. God loves us so much that he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. What? That we might become. That means it's a process. The righteousness of God in him. And that's found, write it down. That's found in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. He knew no sin, but God sent his only begotten Son. I have one son, the only son. I don't know if I give my son up for him, but I know one that will. His name is Jesus. I mean, God. God did it. However, sadly enough, many still choose to pass up this gift. It's a gift from God, and continue to live their own way apart from God. Help us, Lord, in our weakness. That's one of the roles of the Holy Spirit. Ask him to help you in your weakness. In addition, here in verse 4 of 2 Corinthians 5, God convicts Paul's heart that his dying body will be swallowed up by eternal life. And he lets them know that eternal life reflects a universal hope. What does he mean? Well, I want you to turn with me. I want you to walk through the scripture with me tonight. Ecclesiastes. Mm-hmm. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. I'm going to give you a minute. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Verse 11, he has made everything beautiful and appropriate in his time. He has also planted eternity, meaning a sense of divine purpose in the human heart, a mysterious longing which nothing under the sun can satisfy except God. Yet man cannot find out, comprehend, grasp what God has done. His overall plan from the beginning to the end. What is King Solomon? King Solomon is the author of Ecclesiastes. And this is what he said. King Solomon, known as the author of Ecclesiastes, is saying that every human being has innate, meaning an inborn, distinctive or indistinctive sense of transcendence and longing for ultimate reality experience only in the eternal presence of God. So it's an inborn sense of transcendence from this life to a new life. We are peculiar people. We're just passing through here. Mm-hmm. So now turn back to verse 5 of 2 Corinthians 5. Hallelujah. Turn back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're at verse 5. He said, there is... We know we don't belong here. We don't, you know, but God, Solomon, King Solomon lets us know that it's an inborn, distinctive, or instinct sense of transcendence and longing for ultimate reality experience only in the eternal presence of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 5. He says, now he who has made us and prepared us for this very purpose is God, who gave us the Holy Spirit as a pledge, a guarantee, a down payment of the fulfillment of his promise. Beloved, we all have a purpose in these mortal bodies, and that is to tell of the goodness of Jesus. And Paul goes on to say here in verse 5 that God has prepared us for this purpose. Mm-hmm. Some people say, how am I going to go? We don't have to worry about it. As we grow from glory to glory to glory, the word of God tells us here that God will prepare us. He has already prepared us, predestined us for this purpose. He has given us the Holy Spirit as a guarantee, a down payment on the fulfillment of his purpose for your life and my life. The Holy Spirit will do his job in our lives. He would set up times of leading and guiding us to witness to a person. He sets it up. He sets it up when we least expect it. At the least expected moment, we can be going through something in our own lives, and he'll set it up. And he'll show you that what's in you, what's really in you. Regardless of what it looks like, regardless of what you go through, you still want to tell of the goodness of Jesus. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit, that it was preached, oh God. He will lead and guide you. He has given us the Holy Spirit as a guarantee, a down payment, a fulfillment of his purpose. The Holy Spirit will do his job at the specific time when we least expect it. It takes us reflecting over what God has done and is doing in our lives. The Holy Spirit is God's guarantee of what will come. His work His work in our lives today assures us that the transformation process for our new bodies will be thoroughly completed when we see Christ face to face. He gets the glory because it is for his purpose in these mortal bodies. In these mortal bodies down here on earth, everything is for his purpose. And if we just make up our mind and heart that we're going to grow in the things of God, the Holy Spirit will set us up. And he will do a new thing, a great thing in our lives. We have to cast all our cares on him because he cares for us. His word will not lie. It will stay. Furthermore, Paul goes on to say in verse 6 through 8, of 2 Corinthians 5, help me, Holy Spirit. Whew. It says, so then, being always filled with good courage and confident hope, and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. But we walk by faith, not by sight, living our lives in a manner consistent with our confident belief in God's promises. Verse 8, we are, as I was saying, Paul, this is Paul talking, of good courage and confident hope, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. Paul is letting us know, beloved, that he is not afraid of death because he was confident of spending eternity with Christ. However, Beloved, facing the unknown may cause some anxiety due to the thoughts of leaving loved ones can hurt deeply, hallelujah. But we believe in Jesus Christ, we can share Paul's hope and confidence about eternal life with Christ. I don't know about you, but on this journey, when you spend time with God, you become unafraid of death. And you're going to miss those loved ones, but you have a confidence. And God just let us know, Paul so graciously demonstrate this. He knew he was going to die, but he had such confidence, and the Holy Spirit led him and guided him what to say to the Corinthian church, what to do, hallelujah. I don't know about you, but that's a great place to be, in the bosom of Jesus. He said, but if we believe in Jesus Christ, we can share Paul's hope and confidence about eternal life with Christ. That death is only a prelude to eternal life with God. In other words, we will continue to live. Beloved, let this hope give you confidence and encourage you to faithful service. Don't give up. Keep pressing. Keep pushing. Keep being sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Your purpose, hallelujah. You get so connected to the lifeline, which is the Holy Scripture. Situations in your life will come up and you go through in your own life. But you find yourself in situations and places and you still telling of the goodness of Jesus because you've got a hold of what your purpose is. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. You say, for God I live and for God I die. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. If you're in agreement, say amen. Verse 9 through 10 of 2 Corinthians 5. We almost done. Hallelujah. And it reads as such. He says, therefore, whether we are at home, meaning on earth, or away from home and with him, it is our constant ambition to pleasing him. For we believers will be called to account and must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may be repaid for what has been done in the body, whether good or bad. That is, each will be held responsible for his actions, purposes, goals, motives, the use or misuse of his time, opportunities, and abilities. What Paul is saying here, beloved, in verse 9, he says, well, eternal life is a free gift on the basis of God's grace. Each of us will still be judged by Christ. This judgment will reward us for how we have lived. So God's gift of salvation does not free us from the requirement of faithful obedience. All Christians must give an account on the day of judgment of how they have lived. Romans 14, verse 10 through 12. Turn that with me, please. Romans 14. I just want to give you some evidence. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Paul so graciously let us know that all of us have to be accountable for how we live. This judgment will reward us for how we live. So God's gift of salvation does not free us from requirement of faithful obedience. We have a responsibility as Christians. All Christians must give an account on the day of judgment of how they live. Romans 14, you should be there by now. Hallelujah. Chapter 14, verse 10 through 12. And I'm reading from the New King James Version. And it puts it like this. He said, but why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord. He said, every knee shall bow to me. Oh, hallelujah. And every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us shall give an account of himself to God. Paul is saying here that each person is accountable to Christ, not others. Not the church. Not the church has to stand for right. Well, we know that the church has to stand for righteousness according to Scripture now. But we should not create additional rules and regulations Beloved, as Christian, we base our moral judgments on opinions, personal dislikes, or cultural biases. We have to be careful of that, that we don't get caught up and make it about us, our opinions. And, you know, even leaders, you know, we have to watch. Leaders have to watch this. Our opinion, our personal dislikes, our cultural biases. We come from different backgrounds rather than on the Word of God. And the only way we can be like that is to stay connected to the lifeline and say, God, help me. And then when we make mistakes, when we don't dot every I and cross every T, forgive me. Keep a repentant heart. Amen? Paul says when we do this, we show that our own faith, when we judge and we give our opinions, we show our cultural biases, we become biased. Sometimes we can't help it, but we have to work on it. Paul says when we do this, we show that our own faith is weak and that we do not think God is powerful enough to guide his children. I know about leaders out there, but this freaked me. I don't know about the leaders out there, but this freaked me. I tell you, I was excited. I said, God, these are your sheep. I'm praying. I do all I can. So during my studies, I learned that what Paul also meant is that when we stand before God and give a person account of our life, and then give a personal account of our lives, we won't be concerned, some say worried, about what our Christian neighbors have done. We would love them. Now, don't get me wrong. It's a balance. But we have to give it to God because it can wear us down. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10 just made us aware of this. And let me read it again. It said, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the thing done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Hallelujah. I want to ask you the question again. Do you believe that eternal life reflects a universal hope? That's hope in Jesus. He is the only hope. Hallelujah. He is the hope in us. I told you that the Holy Spirit, he will lead and guide us as we grow from glory to glory to glory. And he'll set you up. But you're here. You're just here on this earth passing through. We have hope in Jesus. Eternal, do you believe that eternal life reflects universal hope? It does. God is all the hope we need. He tells us in his word, he said that every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Have you confessed the Lord tonight? Can you honestly say, I've given him my heart? I haven't done everything right, but I want to accept him as Lord and Savior tonight. I told you I had to be short and to the point tonight. Romans 10, 9 and 10. Let me read the Amplified what it says. It says, because if you acknowledge and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, recognizing his power, authority, and majesty as God, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, meaning Jesus, you will be saved. He said, all we have to do is confess, say, Lord Jesus, after listening to this message, I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. I recognize his power, his authority, and his majesty as God. And I believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead. And if you repeated that after me, you're saved. It's a faith walk. Faith without works is dead. And then he goes on in verse 10. He said, for with the heart a person believes in Christ as Savior, resulting in his justification. Remember what I told you in the beginning. When you accept him, when you confess him, and you believe in your heart, immediately, if he was to take you today, you will be to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. He loves you that much. And you are justified. Whatever his word says about you, that's what he says. That's what it is. No matter what you've done, he said justified. That is being made righteous, being freed from the guilt of sin and made acceptable to God. And he said, and with the mouth he acknowledges and confesses his faith openly, resulting and confirming his salvation. You confirming it. So if you confess that out of your mouth and you believe it in your heart that God sent his only begotten son to die for you, But on the third day, he rose again. We're coming up on it Sunday. Easter Sunday sometime. Hallelujah. And you believe that. Welcome into the family of God. It's simple as that. If you walk on this journey and the pressures of life, and they will come. Hallelujah. He said you can repent. Acts 3 verse 19 said, so repent. He said, so repent. Change your inner self, your own way of thinking. Regret past sins and return to God. Seek his purpose for your life. I just spoke to you about purpose. The Holy Spirit, he already knows your purpose. It's planned. He sets it up as you grow from glory to glory in him. He said, and seek his purpose for your life so that your sins may be what? Wiped away, blotted out, completely erased. So that times of what? Refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, restoring you like a cool wind on a hot day. God wished that none should perish, that all should have eternal life. Say, Lord Jesus, I repent. I change my behaviors, my attitudes. Help me, Lord. Help me, Holy Spirit. In my weakness, I need you, God. Help me to be aware of what's going on around me. When things come my way that upset me, help me to be aware. Help me to be swift to hear and slow to speak. Let me pass the test this time, God. And the only way I can do that is to stay connected to you so you can show me my purpose, so you can lead and guide me. Say, Lord Jesus, I repent right now. I make a conscious decision to change my attitude and my behavior. Help me, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Welcome back into the family of God. To God be the glory. Blessed be the name of the Lord. If you have a comment tonight, press star 6 and we would love to hear from you. If you have a comment, hallelujah. Thank you so much for your time. I know it was short to the point. I have to do it that way a little bit now. Hallelujah. Press star 6 if you have a comment tonight. Mm-hmm.
It was certainly interesting to be in this service. I tell you, the holiest week on the calendar. God, I thank you for all that you are doing in the midst of all of your saints. But I heard what you said, and I just know that we all need to personally sit down and think about all that we do, because everything that we do will be counted, either for you or against you.
Yes.
We need to walk this thing out and fear and trembling before the Almighty God. We need to be careful on what we do. But I pray that each and every one of us will stop and take a moment to just check ourselves. Because if that mirror starts looking back at you and it don't talk back and tell you that there's something wrong, you don't see the beam in your own eye, the gleam in your own eye. If you don't see yourself, then that means you got to get a little closer to Jesus, because the closer you get to him, the more he shows you yourself. Mm-hmm. So on this holy week, I pray that each and every one will be able to look and find themselves and then find Jesus looking back at mm-hmm. them. Be blessed.
All right. Hallelujah. Do we have another comment today? To God be the glory. Thank you so much, Tina, for your comment. Do we have another comment tonight? Hallelujah. To God be the glory. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just thank you for another opportunity to study your word with your people, God. I pray in the mighty name of Jesus Christ that we will grow closer to you even the more, realizing that we're pilgrims just passing through here on this earth, God, but knowing that the greater one lives on the inside of us when we accept you as Lord and Savior of our lives. You have such desire for us to go from glory to glory to glory. So, Lord, we just thank you. We give you all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. In the name that's above every name, Jesus. You be blessed, my sister. Be blessed, my brother. Until Sunday, Be blessed. Have a blessed evening. Good night.